Thank you so much for joining us today at Life Church. We have an exciting program for you. Here at Life Church, our mission is to equip people for an extraordinary life in Christ through God's Word, Spirit, and relationships. We truly believe that God can transform your life as you listen to His Word. If you'd like to know more about Life Church, visit our website at lifechurchag.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. I'm going to start a new series about the kingdom of God. I want to help us unpack that over the next few weeks. I am going to ask you to give me your undivided attention in this message, but also to be coming to each of the services, because we're going to dig a little deeper, learn a little more. This is one of those topics that you need to hear again and again, and you need it to be massaged into your life. You know, I was thinking back that Jesus, when he preached his messages on the kingdom, and even the Apostle Paul and things, they would preach all day long, because there was so much to help people connect. And even at the end of that, people many times didn't totally understand what was going on. In our culture today, we have a short window, about 45 minutes to an hour, to say these things. And I'm just telling you that what we have to communicate to you will transform and change your life. But you're going to have to let yourself sit in it for a while. You're going to have to let yourself receive it. You're going to have to let it grow and develop in your spirit. But you have to be intentional about that, okay? Now, today, obviously, we had communion, so we're going to be running a little behind in the service, but I'm not going to let a clock dictate what you're going to hear. Are you understanding? You need to hear everything and then let that go in and let it become what God's will is for your life. Can you be that way today? Is that all right? If for some reason you have somewhere you have to be, like work and things like that, we totally understand. You can quietly excuse yourself, but we are going to push into and receive the fullness of what we're here to hear today. Matthew chapter 4, I want to talk to you about when Jesus began his ministry. He started preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Some of us have no idea what that means, and that's where I want to start today. But let's start here where Jesus started. And that's right after John the Baptist was arrested and put in prison. That was the end of a generation. That was the end of a certain system of religion and law that was going on. And Jesus was bringing what God was doing in our generation, where we are today. And here we are in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Right after John was arrested, this is the introduction, beginning part of Jesus' ministry. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, the idea of repent there is not the idea of crying at an altar and saying you're sorry, but rather changing the way you think about things. Change what you're expecting right now. Take what I'm saying, what Jesus is saying, and replace it with what you were thinking. What he was referring to was, in their mind, the kingdom of God was always coming. It was going to come someday. And Jesus says, as of today, I want you to change the way you think, because Jesus was the introduction of something new and something they'd been expecting, but now it was time for them to move away from expecting the kingdom to come to realizing the kingdom had come. There's a difference. And that's where we are today. You see, up until John the Baptist's ministry, he was the end of that generation of ministry. They were always prophesying and predicting the day that the king would come, that a kingdom would come back into the earth, and that dominion would be brought back into, and God's kingdom would begin to reign and grow and have no end. And rather than like John's generation and generations before saying, someday this is going to happen, when John's generation was done, Jesus was saying, that day is today. And from this day forward, the kingdom isn't coming, the kingdom's come. Amen. And so he's trying to help them change the way they think, and they're going to have to receive that. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. If you keep going, this is another place. And you'll see this all over the Gospels with Jesus teaching. His gospel was not a gospel of heaven. It was a gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, heaven is included in that for a holding period, for a period of time, and we'll talk about that. But the real message of Jesus was not about getting us to heaven, but rather bringing the kingdom of God into the hearts of men so the kingdom of God can begin to push back the kingdom of darkness in their generation. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of the gospel. And so you see it here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus again saying, Jesus was going around through all the cities and the villages. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And then he would begin to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And that healing was a demonstration that the kingdom had come, that the power and the will and the authority and the desire of the king on his throne, in his dominion in heaven, was now coming through and invading the devil's kingdom and his darkness. And he was healing, saying, look, God's will is being done. Doesn't matter what the enemy has done. God's will is greater, and it's pushing out your sickness. Amen. See, the will and the authority of that kingdom is beginning to invade this kingdom that we were living in. And that's what the healings were. It wasn't just the idea of healing. You need to understand that. It was the moving in of God's kingdom into the earth in a demonstration that things have changed. Are you understanding that? And so Jesus was using that as an opportunity to help people. Even when Jesus cast out demons, he said to them, if I cast out demons, it shows you the kingdom of God has come. You see what I mean? That what the devil thought his dominion had, the devil thought his rights and jurisdiction was, guess what? A new king and a new kingdom is invading the earth, and he's telling the devil, you are evicted from your occupation. Amen. You see that? And so this is Jesus' gospel. This is Jesus' message. And the idea of the coming of a kingdom, and it's here. Like I said, it's not about going to heaven. Too many times our gospel, remember it says Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Too many times our idea of preaching the gospel is getting everybody out of here and getting everybody to heaven. But the gospel, the real message Jesus brought, wasn't about getting people out of the earth, but rather getting heaven into the hearts of people in the earth so they could bring God's will into the earth. Are you understanding? Yes, one day we will go to heaven for a period of time, but that's not your home. That's not your final destination. That is not the eternal end that God had in mind. Heaven is just a byproduct. Heaven's kind of like a included in the benefit package, but it was never what God was restoring us to. When Jesus came to restore the will of God, he was coming to restore a kingdom that had been lost. You see, mankind didn't lose heaven. They lost their kingdom. They lost their dominion. And so when Jesus came to restore, to recreate what we had lost, we never lost heaven. We lost the earth, and we lost our dominion in the earth. You see, God is a king. Can I get an amen? Absolutely. And sometimes we forget that he has a real kingdom. When God created heaven, he became the king of that domain, dominion. In order for a king to be a king, they have to have a domain, a dominion. Does that make sense? Kingdom. Okay, so God creates heaven, kingdom. Then he creates other domains. He created the material world, the physical world, and that was his domain as well. But God did something unique in that in particular creation when he created the earth. He said, let us make man in our image and let them rule over the fish and the ground and the earth and that domain, that dominion. Are you understanding that? And so God didn't say, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with Adam and Eve rule. He said, let them rule in that dominion. Do you understand what I just said there? See, God is the king naturally, and he owns the earth, and he owns the dominion, but he gave the authority of that dominion to his children, Adam and Eve. He delegated that authority into their hands, but they lost it. They committed high treason, and when they lost it, the dominion fell into the hands of an opposing entity, an opposing world ruler, the god of this age. But you know what? This kingdom still belongs to God, and he's going to get it back. Amen. Now, it's interesting because when a king issues a decree, he cannot change what he decreed. So even when Adam and Eve fell and they lost their dominion that he had delegated to them, he didn't swoop back in and just take it back. You might think, well, if God's the king and Adam and Eve kind of blew their opportunity, why didn't God just come in? Because God had said, let us give the dominion over to Adam and Eve. That's a royal decree. See, again, I just want you to think about the Bible for a second. He didn't keep himself in the equation. He could have said, let us, along with man, have dominion. He didn't say that. So then if Adam and Eve would have fallen, he would have still legally had opportunity to own the dominion of the land. Do you understand what I just said? He didn't say, let us have dominion. He said, let them have dominion. That's a royal decree. And he gave it over to them completely, in totality, which is why when they gave over their dominion, they gave it over entirely to the enemy. Now, a royal decree, like I said, can't be challenged. It can't be overturned. It even happened in a few examples in the Bible. You can see how when a king can't even override his own royal decrees. It's just the way it works. In the book of Daniel, King Darius actually really liked Daniel. He loved having the prophet Daniel come in, and Daniel fixed a whole lot of problems in the kingdom. He had all kinds of spiritual gifts, and he was extremely beneficial to the king. But the king was tricked by some of his advisors to put out a royal decree that for a period of time, no one was allowed to ask any favors of God or man other than the king or worship them. But Daniel refused to do that. Daniel was going to pray to his God. And these enemies of Daniel knew that was going to be the case. And so they tricked the king into signing a decree that said anyone that would ask a favor of anyone except God, of God or man except the king, would have to be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel violated that. He was arrested. And when the king found out Daniel was about to be thrown into the lion's den, he grieved over it. He wished he had never made the decree. But notice, he couldn't overturn the decree. And so Daniel had to still be thrown into the lion's den because a royal decree remains. Just because someone Darius liked was getting thrown into the lion's den, he couldn't stop it because it was signed as a royal decree. And so Daniel, praise God, made it through that. It happened again in the New Testament with King Herod. King Herod actually really liked John the Baptist. John the Baptist would come in and talk to Herod about spiritual things, challenged Herod. He kept him in prison. But then one day, Herod had a party. His daughter danced some sort of exotic dance or something. Herod's half drunk out of his mind. He issues a royal decree and says to his daughter, he says, ask me anything you want, even if it's half the kingdom. Which then you know the man's like half drunk. Like, that's the stupidest thing. It's like, what kind of a dance is worth half the kingdom? You know what I mean? But he said with his mouth, he had decreed with his lips, I'll give you half the kingdom. Ask whatever you want. And so she said, I'll go talk to my mom. Her mom said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Her mom did not like John the Baptist. And said, I want his head on a platter. And the Bible says Herod, even though he was grieved because he liked John, he could not overturn what he decreed out of his mouth. So he ended up executing John. And obviously we know the end of the story on that. But what I'm trying to help you see is this. That when God decreed that the earth would belong into the authority and the dominion of man and woman, when we fell, when we committed treason, God couldn't just come and swoop it back in and take it back. But he had to become a man and go through the legal system, because God knew he was going to bring that kingdom back. He was going to bring that authority back to man, but there was a specific way he had to do it, and Jesus was the lamb slain. He was the one that was going to bring it back. Do you understand? So the message Jesus was bringing was a restoration of the king, a restoration of the kingdom that the king had created and that had been lost. And Jesus is saying, it's a new day. The kingdom is coming back into this fallen dominion. The devil's been ruling and reigning. Sin has been ruling and reigning. There hasn't been access to the will of God into the earth on this level, but it's here today and it's here to stay. And of this kingdom, there will be no end. Come on, somebody. Jesus was the beginning of that kingdom. It's no longer coming. It's here, my friend. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, you can flip there. You see the Pharisees, they had their questions about the kingdom as well and it coming because their expectations were different. Your expectations might be different when I'm talking to you about the kingdom has come. See, the Pharisees, like many of the Jewish people, they had been hearing that God was going to restore the kingdom. God was going to restore his children to a place of authority, to a place of position, world leadership, to be the overcomers and not being underneath. And they knew that that day was coming, but when it came differently than they were expecting, and many of them missed it. Because they were looking for an external kingdom to come, and Jesus was bringing it inside the hearts of people. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, now, having been questioned by the Pharisees, speaking to Jesus, as when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look over here, there it is, or look over there, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, or your Bible may say, the kingdom of God is within you. And so you see this kind of contradiction in their expectation. They knew there was a coming king and there was a coming kingdom, but they were expecting that kingdom to come and settle all the social issues of the day, to come in and physically remove the current emperor from Rome, to remove King Herod from his place of position, to remove the Roman occupation. And Jesus came preaching that the message of the gospel of the kingdom, it's within you, it is at hand. But I want you to see and put yourself in the picture of that generation, if you would please, for a second. Now, you're the people of Israel right now. You're under Roman occupation. You're under heavy taxation. You're under a lot of political, governmental corruption. There is not great education systems. There is a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots. You are being walked on and treated like you have no rights, no authority, and you are expecting change. You are expecting things to get better, and in steps Jesus, who says, the kingdom of God is here, ta-da, it's being offered today. Look, it's what you've been waiting for, 4,000 years of prophecy, here it is, right in front of you, and they're looking at things going, this isn't what I was expecting, because nothing in the natural has changed. See, he's preaching this nice message, and it's getting people's hopes up. And sometimes we as pastors, we get criticized. Here you are preaching these pie-in-the-sky messages. You're getting these people's hopes up. And they're not really changing much of anything in preaching that gospel. They should be out there, you know, taking down those politicians and changing social structures and doing this and fixing the economy and doing this. And tell you what, let me tell you what. Jesus came. Jesus could have preached any message, and Jesus could have done anything. He could have even called legions of angels to come down and dispossess those rulers. But he had another wisdom. You see, the wisdom of God supersedes the wisdom of man. Can I give an amen on that? And if he would have come and just sweeped out those generational leaders without putting the kingdom in the hearts of people, then more corrupt leaders would have risen to the top and taken those places of authority. Do you understand? Because in that vacuum, in that void, it's going to be filled. What needed to happen wasn't just the change of earthly leadership, but it was a birthing of God's kingdom and dominion coming into the hearts of mankind, and then he would change those kingdoms as they grew into places of authority, as they advanced in their leadership, as you advanced in your giftings and talents as a kingdom citizen, you would push back darkness in your life. It's not just God come in and swoop it and fix it. God had a better plan. By preaching this gospel of the kingdom, telling them, look, you are a kingdom citizen now. There is leadership in you. There's an anointing in you. You are an ambassador of a higher calling, a higher authority. You're not subject to what this world systems is saying, what the limitations that are being placed upon you. I take you out of a world system, and I link you into God's authority, God's dominion, and now you are a direct line between God's will and the earth. That's why you pray, God, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Are you understanding? And now you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, who's connecting you from God's domain into this domain, and now God's wisdom is the king is able to communicate with you, the ambassador, in this land, and then we are bringing his will from his domain into our domain, and now we are man and woman, and we are speaking with the authority that we had originally. It's been purchased and paid for and brought back to us, and now we are solving world problems, and we are engaging in world crisis, and we're living outside of the fact that we are governmental leaders. We are responsible for this domain. See, what happens is if we have a perspective that heaven is our zone, heaven is our end game, we don't realize that we have responsibility in this domain. You see what I mean? And we just want God to fix everything, but God delegated this dominion to us. You understand? We are responsible for this generation. We are responsible for this domain. And God didn't take it back. He gave it back to us legally. Are you hearing this? And let me tell you something about people who think it was a waste of time for people, Jesus, to go around and just preach the gospel of the kingdom when he should have just been fixing it in the natural. Guess what? Those kingdoms like Rome, they're gone. But you want to know what remains? The kingdom of God for 2,000 years has been growing and increasing and advancing. So the wisdom of God worked, telling people that they were connected to a higher kingdom and they're in authority over the darkness, that the darkness that's been here for 4,000 years is now evicted and a new kingdom is coming into the earth. You see what I mean? When God comes in and he settles things in the natural, literally Jesus comes in and wipes away all those other kings and he sits here and does the things on the outside that they were hoping he would do 2,000 years ago, that's the end of the story. And so by God putting the kingdom inside of us so that it would change us, link us to a higher domain, link us to a higher authority, hear the will of a new king who can speak over what this old king of this generation is saying, we can hear clearly what the King of Kings is saying, and then we can proclaim and do and be what the king wants to happen in this generation, in this domain. Amen. Do you see that? The kingdom of God is breaking forth. This is the crux of today's idea. The idea of the kingdom of God breaking out and bursting forth. Familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Now, when I was growing up, I heard that preached many different ways, and I wasn't completely clear on its meaning. Sometimes I wondered, does that mean that God wants us to get real rowdy, and God wants to get us really motivated and active and kind of violent? No, that is not what God is saying. The kingdom of God is not advancing with violence from our hands. Or maybe it was taught in a prayer circle or in a worship night when we wanted people to get real jazzed up and energized. Kingdom of God suffers violence, violence, take it by force. Wow! Pray harder. That's not what it means either. I want to tell you a rewrite of that verse from a biblical theologian. He's a doctor in ancient languages, Brad Young. He retranslated that Matthew 11, 12 verse, going back to the original roots in the Hebrew. And I think it brings a lot of clarity. And it's right where we are right now. And it's something we need to understand about the kingdom of God. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven breaks forth. And those breaking forth are pursuing it, or they seek it. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven breaks forth, and those breaking forth are pursuing it, or they're seeking it. There's a couple ideas here. One, the ideas of the days of John the Baptist until now. Remember what I said. John represented the old covenant. John represented the law and the prophets. John represented the kingdom is coming. And now Jesus is saying the kingdom has come. I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The kingdom is here. It is at hand. It is in your midst. It's going to be inside of you. Amen. And so John was kind of in those zones. And you have to understand something. You live in this side of that statement. You know, Jesus said of John, he's amazing. He said there's no one born of a woman that's any greater than John. He's amazing. But let me tell you this. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Why? Because you're living in the here and now, there it is, rather than it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Do you see who you are? You, the least in the kingdom of God, because you're no longer waiting for an expected end. We are to be breaking forth in what God has paid for, with the reality that the kingdom has come. We receive that kingdom, and we live out of a new kingdom. Not the expectation of one, but the reality of receiving one and being made a part of one. Are you understanding that? Amen. And the Bible goes on to say that this kingdom is breaking forth. It's coming out, it's breaking forth, breaking down the walls, breaking into a generation, breaking into economies, breaking into governments, breaking into media mountaintops, breaking into places of darkness and strongholds that the devil thought he's had forever. The kingdom of God's breaking forth. And those that are breaking forth are breaking out with it. There's a prophetic verse in the Old Testament by a prophet named Micah that kind of brings more clarity even upon this illustration. Let me read it to you. Micah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of a pasture. They will be noisy within them with men. These are excited sheep. The breaker goes up before them, before the sheep, and they break out. They pass through the gate. And they go out by it, what, the gate. And their king goes before them, or in front of them, which is the Lord at their head. Now, that's why I want to bring this idea to you. Bring that back to the Matthew verse again. The idea that the kingdom is breaking forth, and those who are breaking forth seek it or pursue it. John the Baptist is part of the fulfillment of the Micah verse. Where when he was kind of in that transitional zone of the old covenant and the new covenant, kingdom is coming, to here Jesus is actually walking the earth, the kingdom has come, he's the breaker here. And these sheep, you see, we have to understand something. There was these sheep in great expectation that were sitting there behind the fence, whatever the bondages, whatever the barriers, whether it was the old covenant or whether it was certain systems of their generation that were keeping them from breaking forth into their identity, from breaking forth into their authority, from breaking forth into the fact that they are sons and daughters of God. They are royal kids, you understand? It's not, we're not a religion, everybody. We are a kingdom. Let me say something to you. Please think this in your head. Write this down. Jesus was never a religious figure. Jesus is a governmental figure. You understand that? He didn't come building religion. He came to establish a government. He came to bring a kingdom, amen, back to a kingdom that had been lost. Amen. We didn't lose religion. We lost kingdom. We didn't lose heaven. We lost dominion. Are you understanding this? And he came to return those things. Man, So John the Baptist, he's a breaker, so he breaks forth a little, giving a little bit of revelation that a new kingdom was here. A new kingdom is coming, so repent and prepare. And so but the sheep are back here. They're super excited. I can't wait. Something's going on. The moment it comes, I'm ready to burst out. And then Jesus is the real breaker, and he's the king that goes before them. And so Jesus breaks out the whole way, and he becomes the door. He becomes the access point for the kids in the kingdom so they can burst forth onto the scene of the world and to say, I am now back into the kingdom. I'm not limited anymore. Amen. You got to see that. There's just something inside of them that was saying, I'm done with the old system. I'm done with the old ways. I'm done with the devil being in control. I was made for something more than this. There's a kingdom that's greater that's coming, and I can't wait for it to come. And then Jesus makes the way for it not to be talked about, but for it to be entered into. You see what I mean? And the sheep are like, I'm free. I'm free. I can rule. I don't have to be sick anymore. I don't have to be full of sin anymore. I don't have to be separated from the Father anymore. I'm free. Do you see what I'm saying? And they're out. They're bursting out. Amen. We have to see that Jesus made the way into a kingdom. And there's got to be people in this world and people in this room that you're sick of the old kingdom, and you're ready to break forth out of an old kingdom. He's made the way into the new kingdom. But notice in that verse, there's kind of a warning in there. It says, those that are breaking forth pursue it. It doesn't say everybody pursued it. It says, those that were ready to break forth. Something in them said, that's what I've been waiting for. Something in them said, I don't have to live like I was living, and I see the opportunity to break forth. I'm going to go with what Jesus is offering, and I'm going to let him bring the kingdom into me, and then I'm going to rise up above my circumstance. I'm going to rise up about what my expectation was. I'm going to set aside what other people's expectation was, and I'm going to break forth into this kingdom that's being offered to me. He's made the way. He's broken it forth for me. I couldn't break into that kingdom. He broke it in to me, and now I'm breaking forth into what he's opened the door to. See, he is the way. He is the truth. He's the life. He's the gate. He's the door into what? The kingdom. Not into heaven, but in the kingdom. Heaven's there temporarily until we come back and rule and reign with him. It's always God's will to put us back in kingdom. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Amen. Are you understanding this, church? Absolutely. Jesus is a way maker. Can I get an amen on that? Jesus is, he's the one that opens up every door. Every opportunity. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible talks about Jesus holding in his hands the key of David. And you know what the key of David is? The key of David is the ability to open any door that no man and no devil can shut. See, it's not a problem. Jesus knows how to make a way. He knows how to open the door. What he does not do is force us through the door, is force us through the way. And so there's many of us, just like in Jesus' day, Pharisees stood there, and Jesus is saying, the way's been opened. The door's been made available. And Pharisees stood there, and they didn't enter into the kingdom. And other people stood there, and they didn't enter into the kingdom. Why? Because only those seeking to come forth are coming forth. Do you see the responsibility on us? There are people who have every excuse in the world to stay back here, back in limitation, back into an old kingdom, back into an old system, but you weren't born to be here. You were born there, but that's not where you were made to be. And Jesus gave you an opportunity to really live the life we as people were meant to live, and that's connected to a higher king, and that's connected to another kingdom. Come on, somebody. In Luke chapter 4, I just want you to buy this into your heart. Receive this in your heart. Luke chapter 4, Jesus preached a message about this as well. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, verse 18 and 19. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Gospel of what? The kingdom. To who? The poor. Amen. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The favorable year of the Lord has come. Jesus was saying, I've come to preach the kingdom to the poor and release. Look, I've made a way. You are released from the devil. Now walk away from him. You're released from sin. Now walk away from it. You're released from poverty and lack and all that stuff that the old dominion put over you, your old taskmaster put over you, but he cannot force you to come through the door that's been open. There's something on the inside of us that has to wake up and say, I'm ready to rise up and I'm ready to walk through that door. I'm ready to break forth. The breaker has broken open the way, and now I'm breaking forth into the kingdom of God. I'm looking for it, I'm waiting for it, and it's there. There's a word that I want to bring back to your heart. Maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't, but it's something that we utilize a lot in certain things that we do in ministry, and it's personal intrinsic motivation. Personal intrinsic motivation. Something on the inside of you that rises up and says, I'm done with the past and I'm ready to change. It's not something a pastor can put in you. I cannot put personal intrinsic motivation in you. I can tell you the way's been open. I can preach the gospel of the kingdom to you. But until you on the inside wake up and say, I'm receiving that kingdom and I'm breaking forth, I am coming out of agreement to where I was and I'm agreeing to what God has made me to be, we cannot do that for you. We cannot create that motivation in you. Otherwise, you're going to always need us to do that, and we cannot do that. It's something that you and your mind see the door, you see the opportunity, you realize the truth that you were made for more than this, and you step forth and you say, God, I receive what you're offering me. I want it more than I want this old life. I want your freedom more than I want that old bondage of sin and addiction. You understanding? And in you, you're just like, I'm done with being limited. I am breaking forth. Let me share something with you about who you really are. You may not even realize this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I quoted it kind of earlier, but I'll bring some more light on it. This is when God was making this domain. The Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Yes, you have a dominion over all the creeps. Can I get an amen on that? But I want you to notice here, please, in this verse, that God, yes, he says, let them. Remember I said that earlier. He didn't say let us. He said let them have dominion over the earth. But I want you to see something. In the beginning, man was created to have dominion, to rule, to reign, to be a leader, amen, to dominate this life. That's why it feels so wrong when life is dominating you. Because you weren't born for life to dominate you. You were created in the image of God. You were created as an ambassador, as a king's kid, amen, as a child that is royal, that is noble. And so it doesn't feel right when life is ruling you because life was never meant to rule you. And that is a good thing that you wake up to that. Sometimes people think that's pride. Why am I so proud that I get irritated when poverty sets into my life? Because poverty was never meant to be a part of your life. That's why. Why do I get so irritated when I fail and mess up and sin or the enemy is doing this and this and this? It irritates you because it's supposed to irritate you. Because you are a royal king. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy people. You are of a different world, of a different kingdom. Can I hear an amen on that? And these things weren't supposed to fit. That's why it irritates you when someone dies of sickness and disease, because it wasn't meant to be that way. Maybe not somehow, because it's familiar to us, adopt it into our lives, that's somehow supposed to be a part of our life story. It was never meant to be a part of our life story. Sickness and disease, death itself, it's going to irritate us. Yes, we have a promise of a better future and of eternal life, but something in our DNA, our spiritual DNA, will always and should always oppose the idea of death, or oppose the idea of lack, or oppose the idea of life ruling us, or the devil ruling us, because we were only meant to have one ruler, and it's a king, amen, the king of glory, amen. And we just get so comfortable in life, because it becomes our expectation, because of what it is, and Jesus puts the connection into a new kingdom into your heart, and says, we're going to grow from your heart, we're going to grow that new kingdom into this generation, into this world, and that's what he's consistently done over the last 2,000 years. Are you understanding this? See, because you were born to lead. You weren't born to serve the devil. You weren't born to serve sin. You weren't born to just get by. You were born to live as royal kings and priests. And you have to accept that identity. See, if you don't know that, you think that behind this wall is what you were born for. But when you see in your heart, I was born for more than this. Then when someone makes a way through the wall, you burst forth because you knew you were born for more and you just didn't know how to get there. You just didn't know how to put words behind it, but you knew you were made for more than your past generations had. Are you understanding that? Woo! Well, I'm more excited than that, but hey. I'll tell you, one day, you're going to be driving down the road 2 days from now, and it's going to hit you what I just said. And you're going to be like, whoa, whoa. I pray one thing. I pray the roads aren't icy that day. I pray that one thing. Keep you safe. When this word finally hits you, praise God. There is a lie that sometimes we've adopted into our thinking. And that's this. Some people were born like leaders and more kingly. And maybe you were born just to be a follower. And I want to combat that in your head. Do you realize all of us were meant to be royal? Right. We're meant to be sons and daughters of king. It's not king, a couple sons and daughters, and like some creepy, weird nephews and nieces. You see what I'm saying? There's like one level of family. And we're all equal at the foot of the cross. And we're all equally side by side, seated with Christ in heavenly places. All have equal access. All have equal authority. All have the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that Christ had. We all have access into the throne of the King, the throne of grace. We are all equal in the body of Christ. Are you understanding? And so you need to get out of your head that someone else is a leader and you're just some sort of a follower in life. You don't follow the devil. You don't follow sin. You don't follow trends. You don't follow generation. You follow your king. Amen. And it doesn't matter if anyone else sees the leader you are. It's more important that you see the leader you are and you're bursting forth into the calling of who God's made you to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's such a lie just because some people have outward verbal skills or outward leadership talents that we think they're the leaders and we're just here to just follow the lead. You're here to become the best version of you that God, the King, had in mind when he made you, and you are royal. You are meant to rule and to lead in your world and sphere of influence. You may be a grandma that's 1,000 years old, but you are a leader because you're connected to the King. You have access to the King's resource. You have access to the King's ears, and you're the salt. You're the light. You're the city on a hill. God's never been trying to hide you to be a follower of a generation. He's been trying to make you the leader of a generation because he's bringing his kingdom into this kingdom. He's pushing back another kingdom. He's not building a religion. He's building a government and a kingdom in which there'll be no end. Amen. Amen. Do you see this? And I just challenge your thinking that you were born to be a leader. You were born to be successful. You were born to be a champion in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you all are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You all are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into light. I want to speak to the insecure in the room and to the self-doubting into the room. There is a leader inside of you that needs to break out. Stop letting the enemy give you all these reasons of why everyone else is breaking out into the kingdom and you have to stay back there under the devil's foot or under some sort of lack or some sort of brokenness or some sort of oppression. You know, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says that Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was anointed. He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You see, the kingdom of God is reversing the oppression of another kingdom. Do you understand? And that's who you are. And it's not based on your education. It's not based on your gender. It's not based on your skin color. It's not based on your economic status. It's not based on your wealth. Are you understanding? It's based on you are connected in an equal standing with the King, and you are his ambassador, and you have his ear, you have his resource. And we put so many limitations, so many walls back up. You know, maybe it's a different wall. Maybe it's a wall of, I'm a girl, so I can't do anything for the kingdom of God. In one generation, that some people had that mentality because of their gender. Or some people might say, because my skin color is this color, the kingdom of this world hasn't given me opportunity. And you know, that's true. We have oppressed people based on their ethnic background or based on their gender or based on their skin. But I'm trying to help us think beyond that, that it doesn't matter if the social structure of a nation changes or not. You are connected to a greater King. Your purpose, your plan, your destiny is above and beyond. Rome didn't change when Jesus came that day. Do you understand? The oppressors didn't leave when Jesus came. But the gospel of the kingdom had been preached to who? To the poor. The gospel of the kingdom had been preached to the down and outs. You realize Jesus didn't come preaching this message to the kings of that day. Many of the nobility heard about it and came to listen. But he didn't go to the palace to preach the gospel. He went into the boats and into the fields where there were sheep herders, where there were shepherds. You know what I mean? There's fishermen, spice dealers. Actually, I Googled it. I said, what were some of the occupations of the day in Jesus' time? Who was he preaching to? And it said fishermen. It said spice dealers. It said circumcisers. And I said, they really want a change in life. If anyone's ready to break out into a new identity, it's going to be the circumcisers. Can I get an amen? You think your job is bad. You know what I mean? You think, somebody set me free. I'm telling you, they were the first sheep out of the gate. Amen. But we have to put in our mind, right? We think Jesus came and he preached this to the world leaders. No, he preached it to the meek of the earth, the people that no one thought was the leaders. But he says, see, they were looking at the outward man. But he knows the power of the gospel of the kingdom. He knows what the working of the kingdom will do in the heart of a fisherman, in the heart of a shepherd, in the heart of a spice dealer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And it will make them royal. And it will make them the leaders of a generation, which they became. Amen. Do you see this? And so you have to disconnect yourself from all the walls a generation or this earthly kingdom puts on you and connect yourself to a new king. Connect yourself to a new kingdom. Amen. Of which you are an ambassador in this realm, in this kingdom of. He's the king of that kingdom and that domain. He has put us in this domain. We represent that domain in this domain. And we rule from his law and his ways in this domain. Again, remember the value of the Holy Spirit connection here. That's why it's so important that people are spirit-filled. So they can immediately know what the king is communicating to its embassy. What the king is saying about a certain crisis, about a certain situation, so that we don't pick up what the generation wants us to do or how the generation wants us to respond or what the crisis might think it needs to happen. The king needs to communicate his decree, and then we act out of that. Are you understanding how that works? This is the way this thing works, but I speak over you. You are a leader. You are always meant to be a leader. Breaking forth. This message was preached to the poor, to the uneducated. And it created the kingdom within them. And it rose them up from their station in life. It rose them up from whatever opposition or prejudice or bias that they had created in their minds because they realized it's not about who I was born from. It's not about the generation that's been handed to me. It's not about the limitations in this generation. When you step out through that door, you step into a new kingdom. You step into a new legal system. You step into a new resource. You step into a new higher authority. You step into a new favor with God, with the King of the universe. It has nothing to do with all this other stuff that you've limited yourself. And that's why it's important that today you hear me say, are you going to break forth? Are you ready to break forth? It's your decision. I can preach the gospel of the kingdom week after week over these next few weeks. But until you get to a place that you see it and you realize that message has the power to transition your life and to propel it forward into success, into being the leader you are meant to be. But you have to be ready and willing to break forth and stop giving excuses. Like I think about back then, what are some of the excuses people might have had when they heard Jesus talking about the kingdom? They might have thought, oh, this is a nice message. We've heard positive thinking before. And it's not positive thinking. Jesus was offering a real kingdom. But see, they put it out there as, oh, it's just a nice little thought that church likes to talk about. My friend, I don't believe Jesus was wasting people's time in telling them the kingdom had come and giving them opportunity to enter it. And I can tell you through history, you can see the value of what that message has done in the lives of people. Whether people, this world thinks it's valuable or not, it doesn't matter because millions and millions and billions of people have been transformed and changed. And this world is better today because the kingdom of God came into the hearts of people. You understand? This world is much better off today because Christians got involved and got out there and transformed the generations and they heard the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And so I'm challenging us today. I believe some people heard that message and thought it was just a nice little idea. Some people thought to themselves, Jesus is offering the kingdom, and they thought to themselves, I'll get around to that. I'll get back to that. See, they're not ready to break forth. Are you ready to break forth? See, anyone who was ready to break forth when they heard that message of the kingdom, you know what happened? They broke forth. That's the key. I'm ready to break free. I'm sick of being underneath. I was made for more than this. Maybe that's what you needed to come today to hear. Is look, there's a reason it doesn't feel right that you're always under oppression. You're always depressed. You're always underneath the devil's foot. You're always in lack. You're always broken. It's because you weren't made for that. You were made to have dominion. But you can't have dominion unless you're connected to the king. You can't have dominion unless you're connected to the king. Amen. Child of God, I declare over you, break forth into the kingdom. Break forth into the kingdom. Brock, if you'll come. Closing verse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Not the gospel of heaven, but the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And I just want to ask I just want you to see the value of this message. The whole world. God believes that helping people realize who they were and meant to be and being connected to him as the king and them having a connection between his throne, his resource, his authority, his dominion coming into them. That's the message God wants brought into all the different generations, all the different nations of the world. You think about all the poverty in different nations of the world. You think about the sickness in different nations of the world. You think about lack in the nations of the world. And here God is trying to help them realize that no matter who you are, and the reason I use this illustration, no matter who you are, you could be in the most impoverished nation in the world. You could have no physical breaks in your culture, in your economy. You could have some young boy in Africa who has no resource, no outward ability to connect to America even. Too many times our world looks to America to come in and be its savior. But you know what? America was never designed to be the savior. Now, we should be responsible and we should help as much as we can, but there's too much need in the whole world for us to do everything. You understand that? There's nothing wrong with doing what we can and more as we can. What I'm saying is this, we've bought into a lie again that what that little boy needs is America rather than that little boy needs to be connected to the King of Glory. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if that little boy who has never had the education we've had, who's never had any of that, according to this gospel, according to our Bible, God can do in that little boy and make him a world changer, a leader in his sphere of influence. He can access resource beyond what his parents have ever accessed. He can have life and wisdom beyond even what he's learned because the Holy Spirit can even teach him and train him. God can even order his steps to get in front of people that will give him good education. But what I'm trying to say is, the gospel of the kingdom is not limited by outward cultural or social circumstances. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know what advantage you have or what advantages you think you didn't have. This gospel connects you to what you need. This gospel connects you beyond whatever opportunities were taken from you. Again, those are all excuses of why you're staying behind a wall. And I'm just breaking through that right now. You're a child of a kingdom. You're a child of a king. Stop having all these excuses of why you can't break forth. And you connect to the king. And it doesn't matter if culture changes. You're changing today. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to end this a little differently today. I asked Brock to lead us in a song. And in the verses of the song, it says, Spirit, break out. It says, break our walls down. And that's what we're praying right now. And I want you, because again, I can't lay my hands on you and make you motivated. And when you leave this place, all the excitement and energy of the day can dissipate. It's just life. But you know what? The reality of the kingdom still goes with you, whether you feel anything or not. It's the truth of the gospel that Jesus preached. And so what I ask Brock to do is lead us in this song. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Service is officially done. But if you would like to have a prophetic time with you in the Lord, where you come out of your seat, and you coming out of your seat is almost like this image of you breaking out of whatever's been holding you bound, whatever limitations you've put on your mind, whatever limitations you've put on your life. I didn't have this chance, and someone took my opportunity, and I didn't have the education, or this, or this, or this. Stop. Excuses of why you can't lead. You're a leader. You're a champion. You were meant to dominate, amen, life. And you see yourself breaking out as you're walking out of those seats, and you can find a spot at the altar. And then you just declare, in this song, Spirit, break out, break all those walls down. I want to see your kingdom. I want to see your kingdom here. And so I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and if you would like to just have that time singing that, I just say stay as long as you like until you feel that release, until you let God stamp that image in your heart, and then you can go. But I'm not coming back up to close the service. I'm just saying you can leave when you need to. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we come before you, and we thank you for the gospel of the kingdom. And we thank you that there is a great King, King of the universe, and that, God, we're connected to you. And Jesus came to tell us the kingdom has come, and you've made a way into that kingdom today. And, God, I pray you help us to see it and receive it. Lord, I speak over every one of these ears, over every one of these hearts, that they are leaders, that they are royal, that there is a King and there's a source of increase and a source of authority and a source of provision for them that's greater than what they see in the natural. And Lord, I pray today they break out of all excuses and they break out of all lies and they break forth into the image of a son and daughter of a King. And Lord, I just give you thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for watching our program today. We really hope it blessed you. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us need a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, today, if you're sitting there watching this program and you don't know where you stand with God, if you were to die today, you know, would you go to heaven? Would you not go to heaven? You know, we want to help you make sure. You know, the Bible goes on to tell us that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, Jesus came for that very purpose. And so today, I'd love to pray with you to call on the name of the Lord and make Him your God, to let Him forgive you of your sin and get in right relationship with Him. So if that's you today and you want to give your heart back to God or maybe to Him for the first time, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I give you all of my life. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we know because the Bible says it, God heard it. We would love to help you any way we can in your walk with Jesus. And if you contact us through our website, let us know that you prayed that prayer, or call us at our church offices. We would love to give you some resources and tools to help you with your walk with Jesus. If you don't have a home church, we want to invite you to one of our campuses. Check out our website, look at our church locations and times, see which one works best for you. Thank you again for watching the program. God bless you. Have a great week.